Hello and welcome to Wild Stableboard. I'm Simon Sansom, presenter of Wild Stableboard. And today I have got journalist, TV commentator, blogger, you know, Metro article writer, Sam
Rake.
Hello, actress of course. Sam Rake, how are you, Sam?
I'm very well, thank you.
Excellent. So we're here today to talk about disability. You are disabled.
I am.
Yeah, okay. First of all, for people who don't know you, what would they best know you from?
I suppose the Maltesers advert, which is where everyone knows me from. Everyone, even though it's 2 years on, they still remember and they still expect me to carry Maltesers around with me.
Do you carry Maltesers around?
No, I don't. I don't, but luckily I really, really like Maltesers, which is a good thing. I would have hated it to be a brand that I didn't particularly like.
Do you have an unlimited supply of Maltesers?
No, however, they are very kind enough to Mars. If I kind of message them and say, "Ooh, I quite fancy one of the new products," they send me little care packages now and again. I know, that could be quite dangerous, couldn't it?
So not only did you get paid for the advert,
yeah,
but they send you free chocolate,
yes,
whenever you like.
Give or take, yeah.
That's pretty good going.
But hey, could be in worse situations, couldn't I?
Well, what I'm thinking is we're sitting in your flat in central London.
Yes, we are.
This is an awesome flat, by the way.
Oh, thank you very much.
And what I'm thinking is we could fill this living room
with
Maltesers.
I wouldn't like to clean it up afterwards, though. That could get a bit messy. Although it's so cold outside that they probably won't melt for ages, would they?
I can't pronounce what you've got. Now, I did Google it.
Yeah.
It's called brittle bone disease.
For a bone condition, yeah.
But what's the actual official term?
Osteogenesis imperfecta. Basically means I don't have type 1 collagen in my body. So the kind of more common term is brittle bone condition. However, it's not just my bones that are affected. So collagen, you can find that in your skin, in your hair, in your eyes, and also in your arteries. Because your skeleton makes up such a large part of you, that's why we call it brittle bones, because it makes my bones very kind of elastic-like. So I've got hyperflex, you know, in my joints.
Yeah.
I'm quite fortunate enough that I can actually pick up, you know, cups and put light switches on and off. But some people with a condition, because there's quite a lot of different types, severities, some people can't even, you know, turn a light switch on because their joints are very lax. So yeah, it basically means if you took a cross section of my bone, it would look like an arrow, lots of little holes in it. So yeah, so I can fracture quite easily. I've had around 200 broken bones, even when I was in my mother's belly. So yeah, that's why I use a wheelchair. I've got all my legs rotted, telescopic rods, and my spine is fully fused.
So can you actually walk at all?
No. So I used to do physio when I was younger. I think it's this whole thing of, you know, oh, we need to get that person to walk. We need to get them to walk. And I'm like only like 3'9". So I think it would be quite, you know, having brittle bones and being quite short, the thought of walking out in public absolutely petrifies me anyway. Because no one would see me and like getting knocked down. But I just remember that, you know, when they were teaching me how to stand, every time I'd like wait there or grab onto something to pull myself up, I would fracture an arm. So it just came to a point. And also my mum said I was pretty lazy as a child. She went, you just never wanted to get up. But yeah, and then after my spinal operation, unfortunately, there was complications with that. So I lost a bit of mobility and power in my legs. But you know what? I've never really been that fussed. It's one of them things people say, oh, wouldn't it be lovely if you get married, you could walk down the aisle. I'm like, well, not really. Not really.
Yeah.
I think it's more society projects. Well, life would be much better if you could stand. And actually, I'm much safer and healthier and happier. Yeah. In my chair, I
can relate to that because they're trying to get me walking. I can only walk with a Zimmer. I can only walk a few feet at a time. That's why I got my scooter.
Yeah.
People are saying, we've got to get you up walking. We've got to get you up walking. I'm like, this isn't going to work. I cannot feel my feet. If I can't feel my feet, that means I don't know where I can put them. If I don't know where I put them, I'm going to trip over, and that's what they did. So I stopped walking.
I think, you know, there's obviously benefits for your health if you can do, if you're more mobile. But I think, you know, actually for someone like you just said, you know, someone from like myself, it's actually putting more strain on my body than doing positive. There's other forms of activities that I can do to, you know, be healthy and get my cardio going.
I should point out my legs have never been skinnier.
Love it.
I woke up in hospital one morning and I sat up for 3 months. I sat up for the first time after having spinal injections. I didn't recognise my legs.
Really?
I didn't. It was absolutely terrifying. But anyway, let's get back to you. Now, however, you have got brittle bone disease, but that hasn't stopped you. You are very outgoing. You are very successful.
Thank you.
You know, you do okay for yourself.
Yeah,
you're on TV all the time. You're an actress.
Yes.
You're a writer.
Yep. I've got a new handbag range out as well.
I'm going to get to that shortly. Yeah. Don't stop plugging yourself to her.
Sorry.
But let's start off. You were a teacher.
Yes. So I trained as a language teacher. Then I worked at a school predominantly with SEN children. Did mostly German in Blackburn. Yes. So it seems like a million years ago. In fact, it was
That's
only
a big
like
career
7 years
change.
Ago. Yeah, I mean, there was a number of reasons. I've always liked acting as a child. I kind of used to go to extra clubs and, you know, kind of activities. And then one day, I think we had a scout coming to cast for Oliver, the play of Oliver. So a scout coming up to Lancashire from London, it was a big thing. And my drama teacher took me to one side and basically said, look, people like yourself and people of ethnic minorities won't get picked, so I don't want you to be disappointed. And I think I was probably around 15 at the time. You know, I would like to say that I kind of said, how dare you say that, I'm going to go for it anyway. But, you know, being 15 and someone kind of saying that to you, it was soul destroying, and I kind of gave everything up and went down a different path. So when the opportunity arose, when I used to come down to London a lot to visit my best friend, a lot of his friends were in TV, and the opportunity came along to star in an indie film called Little Devil.
Yeah.
And yeah, kind of the rest is history. I mean, I left teaching for a number of reasons. I had a big spinal operation just before my final year at university. Still wasn't recovered. Graduated. I was like, oh crap, what am I gonna do now? Don't feel ready for the big bad world. Someone said, well, if you do teaching, you get a bursary. It's another year in education. So, and because I studied languages, I thought, great. So I did my postgrad, went into working at school. I think it's a vocation, and I do think that if you're not 100% committed, it can be not the best environment for you to be in. I often joke, say it was because I didn't like the children, but actually it was opposite. And also it's becoming teaching, I mean, I take my hat off to teachers, but teaching's becoming extremely bureaucratic. Mm. All paperwork, you know, and I want to do something with my life where I feel more valued.
And it's worked.
More creative, yeah.
And it's worked.
I get bored quite easily.
I can understand that.
I think that's why.
I think a lot of people who are disabled are saying, when I got injured, I couldn't sit around and watch daytime TV. You do get bored very quickly.
Yeah.
So you've got to do something. So I went back to university.
Completely.
You started changing your lifestyle.
Yeah.
And I think that's a positive approach.
Yeah.
I think if you stay on the same track or go and try and back, once you've had a significant change, you do need a change in lifestyle. You do need a change in job, because you can't necessarily do the same job as you did before.
Yeah, definitely.
So it does help.
Yeah, I mean, I'm very happy with what I'm doing now. And also when I do have a fracture, or, you know, I'm not 100%, because I've got, you know, I'm freelance, it gives me that freedom and not have the pressure of, oh my God, am I letting someone down?
Mm.
You know, I hated having to call in to work because you've got all the kids that are used to you.
Mm.
And then if I had a broken bone, that was me out for a good 8 weeks.
Well, you said you had 200 broken bones.
Yeah,
haven't you?
So
it could happen.
It could happen, you know. So it was, there was a lot of pressure. So I think from my mental state as well, because I am very vocal about my anxiety and, you know, kind of the past depression and things.
Mm.
So I think, you know, kind of being your own boss, obviously you've got to be very organised and very disciplined. But at least I can say, no, do you know what, today I am in pain.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to do anything.
Regarding the multi-year campaign, while it was very successful, it put you in the spotlight.
Yes.
It raised a lot of issues around disability.
Yeah.
You were also trolled really quite nastily online.
I don't know why I'm laughing. Nervous laugh.
No, I've got the same thing. I've got a nervous laugh too. Don't worry about that. Because I've read some of them in, like, normal people walking, things like that.
Yeah,
and, I mean, what's normal? But anyway,
exactly.
How did you cope with that? Did you just ignore it? Or did you scream and shout? Or did you reply to them and say, go on, fuck off?
No, I mean, naively, because all my friends, I mean, everyone can relate to this. The people closest to you in your life, they don't see your disability.
Mm.
You know, like, your parents are like, just get on with it, stop moaning, just get on with it. Or your friends, you know, I often say people are like, you know, you're just you.
Mm.
So when you've got that mentality, you kind of forget that the rest of the world might not think like that.
Mm.
So naively, when I did the campaign, I mean, for me, it was the first big, you know, kind of national campaign that I did. So I was just on cloud nine. I was on cloud nine, the fact that for my acting, I was like, oh my goodness, this is great. And I get paid a lot of money and great exposure. So I was in that little bubble of like being happy and didn't think of the response, you know, because all the response I'd had was positive.
Yeah.
And then obviously, then I started getting trolled on social media. And I'd only just recently joined things like Twitter and things like that. And when I first saw it, people were like tagging my name in it. I think I just spent a weekend with my family in Weymouth. So I'm like, you know, on a high, coming on a, not on a real high, but you know, on a high.
Where's the cocaine?
coming on a train back to London. And then my phone stops going like crazy. And I get excited because I'm new to Twitter thinking, oh my God, like I'm like, you know, getting all these people interacting. And then I saw like the first comment and I just felt physically sick. I was on my own train. I wanted to cry. I thought, don't cry on a train. You know, and the paradox to that was a few people spotted me on the train from the advert and said, oh, can I get selfies with you? Oh my God, it was amazing. So in one respect, I'm getting all this positive attention, yet on my phone, I was getting these nasty
keyboard warriors.
Who
would never say it to your face in a million years.
I mean, if they did, they'd get a mouthful. But
throw your wheelchair out.
Exactly, I really would. I always say I want to carry a cattle prod around with me. I don't know whether that would be like...
Illegal.
But, you know, if I just have it standing there, you know, they walk into
just get
it.
Get a police taser.
Yeah, police taser.
Yeah, absolutely. You know.
No, I mean, it did affect me. I'm not going to lie. I am only human. It really affected me.
I think you're fair. I mean, I think you've done exceptionally well to cope with it because it would make me cry. I mean, for people who don't know me, I'm 6 foot, 20 stones. I'm a big chap. I used to play a lot of rugby. And it would make me upset and it would make me cry because it's a nasty thing to go through.
But I think what I did was I took control back. So I actually did an article for the Huffington Post and I highlighted the trolling. I thought, right, if you've got to say these things about me, I might as well spin it around. And as it's gone on, it gets less and less. Although I did go for a period of time, so a good like probably 6 months or a little bit longer, where anything that I did after that, TV wise, I panicked, I felt sick, and I was even during interviews I was going, oh my god, what are people going to say about me after this?
Because I saw a clip online with you with Jeremy Vine.
Yeah.
And Jeremy Ryan commented on Twitter, oh my God, I can't believe what you go through.
Yeah.
And for me, and anyone else in the disabled community, like, this is what we're used to this.
Yeah.
Okay, now I'm new to it. I've only been disabled for 4 years, so I'm new to it, but I still get it.
Yeah.
But Jeremy Vine, that's the thing, they don't get it.
No.
And they don't get it because they're not in that circumstance. And it just highlights it. And the SY is really nice and sympathetic, and my God, why'd you put, you know, how can this happen to you? It's what happens to most people who are disabled, and it's just, and unfortunately, it should never happen.
No, so. But to anyone, I mean, disabled or not, you know, online trolling can be devastating. And again, coming from a teaching point of view, I saw firsthand how online bullying can be disastrous, you know.
Let's move on to something more positive.
Yay!
Now, you've got a Metro column.
I do, yeah.
Excellent. Now, I've got to say, having a Metro column, it's a free newspaper here in London, of course, and across the country. And you are probably the most read disabled campaigner in the country because you have a column in the Metro.
Yeah.
Which is awesome.
It's quite scary. I mean, I'm really blessed because I've done a kind of guest blogs for them in the past. And obviously they were well received and they said that they wanted me to be a regular writer. And it's quite challenging because I already write for Possibility Magazine. I have been doing that for nearly 3 years, which is lovely. But I have to do, like, Metro is like twice a month. No, it doesn't sound like a lot, but it actually really is.
As a journalist, I can understand that. It can be quite difficult.
Yeah.
Because there are stories about disability, but you need to also go out and find them.
Yeah, do you know what? But social media's been a really, really great thing for me. So whenever I'm writing about something, I will go on Instagram and I'll, because you can do like a question on there. And I've got a lot of the disabled community following me on Instagram and on Twitter. So I will literally, it's great. They do the work for me. I'll just go, I'm writing about this.
I do exactly
Can you tell me your experiences, please?
Yeah, I do. I run a blog called abilityaccess.blog and I do exactly the same thing. I put something on Twitter, I ask questions on Twitter or Facebook or whatever, and they give me answers, and then you just use them.
Can I please quote you?
Can I take a screenshot of that and just put it in the story, and then you've got a comment of what someone said.
Yeah,
it's so much easier than actually going to get someone off the street trying to do a vox pop.
Oh, yeah.
Which is so much more difficult.
Yeah. No, it's great, and I'm learning a lot as a writer as well. You know, I'm not a professional writer, and I kind of got thrown into this, and I think it's one of them, you know, fake it till you make it, and that's my motto in life. I just say yes to everything. The first time I did my ITV...
I'm not jealous at all.
No. I did an ITV news report a couple of months back. I've done a second one now, but as an actual reporter. And I turned up, and they send another reporter with you, and I think he thought I was like a pro, and I just said, I went, yeah, I've never done this before. And it, bless his little face, it just kind of drops. But, you know, we got there in the end. And, you know, being back to ITV, and they hopefully are going to get me doing more reports. Awesome. But I like that. You know, I like to learn new things. And I think you need to push yourself out of your comfort zone. Mm-hmm. You know, like you just said, you went back to university. Yeah. I quit my job. I mean, stupid, moved 200 miles away. Everyone goes, oh, that was really brave. I'm like, brave or stupid?
Yeah. Well, I mean, just give you an idea of my university experience, right? First of all, I was old enough to be the kid, you know, the kid's father.
Yeah.
You know, that's how...
Fun times.
Yeah, absolutely. So while I can sit in the same room with them and I can work with them, not a problem at all. Yes, they are immature and they get drunk and they go out and so on and so forth. It's like completely different work pattern.
Cool.
Once you get given an assignment... I've done it the following day.
Yeah, yeah.
And everyone else is scrambling like a couple of hours before the deadline. A month later, when I've had mine in. And it's just, it's a completely different work pattern when you're 20 years older than the extra
students. Having said that, I've always been very much, I didn't really go out and get drunk. And I still lived at home from my university experience. Okay. So I had a very different experience. And then obviously I had my spinal operation halfway through my degree. So, and again... German blood, I'm very, very organised. Not to generalise, but I'm definitely on top of things.
So that's why your flat looks so pristine.
Is it a bit anal, though? Is it too...
It's not anal, it's just very pristine.
Oh,
it's very nice.
Apart from this area on the table.
Aside from the table, no, but it looks like a catalogue.
Oh, yay!
Yeah,
I'm going for it.
It looks like a Tesco catalogue, or, you know, the big candles, you know, the big and, which is lit up.
I love it.
You know, I'm going to help myself with those cookies later.
Oh my God, yeah, go for it. That's what they're there for. They're not fake. They are real Oreos.
I was going to ask, they're Oreos. And I don't know if you've done that on purpose.
Yeah,
I'm going to take a picture of these. I'll stick them up on social media.
Yeah, go for it. I watch the Kardashians, so I'm taking it from them.
Normal people get a biscuit tin and they
chuck them in.
You've put them
in
decoratively. You've actually stacked them in a circle.
This is why I'm single, isn't it?
Well, we're going to come on to that, actually. Okay, so besides from the anally stacked cookies...
Looks pretty, though.
Yeah, you love dating. Oh, I've seen that you love dating.
Oh, yeah, I don't want to say I love it. It still terrifies me. I don't particularly like the whole... If I could just find someone and then fast forward to, like, 3 months down the line, where you can literally say, I'm not going out, let's just watch Netflix and eat McDonald's. Mm. I prefer that.
Yeah.
I actually don't like the whole process of dating. I don't go on social dating apps. I tried things like Match.com and stuff like that, but I was just getting a bunch of... idiots who would come out with comments like, oh God, you're really brave to be on here. and I'm not kind of trying to big myself up because but you know, when people recognise who you are, you kind of like, you've got all that content on you on social media, on the internet.
They can search you quite easily.
They can
just
search you. And there's things, I don't search myself, and I'm sure there's things like I've had horrible memes about me, and all sorts of stuff I don't particularly want. Or even just when I was getting started, I probably did some interviews that, in hindsight, I probably wouldn't do them now.
Yeah.
Like, you say yes to everything, don't you?
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, I feel like they've got a bit of an advantage, and like, I don't know anything about them, so I find it awkward. People that I've dated have been people I've known via friends or working environments. I find that because, you know, they get to see me, you know, in an environment, not just because they've Googled me or something like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I do, I'm very much kind of, I like taking care of people and I like being that role, like the girlfriend role. I like cooking and... making sandwich, you know, like packed lunches.
I'll have a ham sandwich with cheese.
I don't think I've got any bread. There's no bread in this house, I'm afraid.
So what was the last date you went on then?
So I was dating someone for, I think, a couple of months. I think we split up in, I want to say June. I mean, apart from that, I've had encounters, but I'm not going to go into that. I wouldn't say they were dates.
Yeah.
They were just...
So, from a person with a disability, me and my wife got married, and then a month later I became disabled.
Okay.
So, I met my wife, and she's no longer being disabled than fully abled. From a dating point of view, how difficult is it for you or anyone to actually meet people? Because What I'm saying is do they see the person first or the disability?
No, the disability first.
That's what I thought.
But it's funny because I have done a lot of articles and things about sex and dating, and I'm honest about saying people are prejudiced. People are prejudiced. Like, they really are. I mean, look at even Tinder. It's like a throwaway society. No. Whenever I've been on anything like that, I've only put headshots on. I've not put, you know, my full wheelchair. Because if you think about it, if I stick a picture of me on in a wheelchair, and they don't even need to interact with me, it's just a swipe, yes or no.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. And I'm not tarnishing all men the same, but a lot of them, and it will reject that, because when they see someone like me, all the things that go through their mind, and it comes back to sex a lot, they automatically think, oh, she probably can't have sex, or she can't do this, or what will my friends think if I date someone like that? Again, not everybody, because I have met some amazing people where, you know, and what I found, people that either have someone in their family that's disabled, or works with people who are disabled, they're the ones that actually don't really give a crap, you know, but it's not even about being disabled. I've got some beautiful, stunning, intelligent, you know, well, really successful young women friends. And even they are like, no, her forehead's too big. Or, like, this is the way we're going.
Yeah, I know. I completely understand. One of the first articles I wrote after leaving university was, do you tell a person online if you have a disability?
And I'm still in two minds about that. Yeah. I don't. I don't, because I don't want them to make snap decisions.
It should not be an issue. It should not be an issue, but people are prejudiced.
And when people say, oh, yeah, but that's been deceiving, it's like me saying, can I be really rude here? It's like me saying to a guy, right, you need to tell me how big your penis is before I've even met you, because I want to know, because I'm a size queen and I would like to know. That's for me. Or please, can you tell me if any of your family members have had, you know, like heart conditions, or whether, you know, you have mental health. I want you to tell me that straight away. That for me disclosing my disability, particularly when you've got brittle bones. I mean, when you say brittle bones, that sounds horrendous. Sounds horrendous.
The thing is when you say you've got brittle bones and they want to have sex, I'm thinking, are they going to hurt you?
Well, that's what mostly that's I mean, first of all, I get, oh, can you have sex? And then, will I hurt you? And I always like kind of go, well, you know, I've never broken sex yet, and it depends what you're going to do to me. I might like, you know, a bit of bondage. But it's quite sad. I've joked saying, oh, I should wear like a t-shirt saying I can have sex. Like, we shouldn't have to, though, should we? And, you know, other people have complications or have, you know, I don't know, the emphasis is always on, you know, kind of going the full way, but you can be sensual and you can be loving and you can do things in your own way. It's just about knowing that person and communication. Obviously, like for me, you'd have like a safe word.
Banana.
If you watch
Family
Guy, I always quite like to say monkey, and I don't know why, because I don't think it sounds funny. But yeah, it's an interesting one. But all the people that I have had relationships with, even if it's just been, you know, kind of a one-off situation, it's making me sound like a proper...
Not at all.
But you know, it's. I've not had any complaints, put it that way.
That's
so
all right.
We've all worked it out in the end.
Excellent.
You're blushing. God.
I am. Sorry. Of course I am. It's all right. I'll get over it. Don't worry. Now, moving on to a different subject. Hashtag don't want our cash.
Yes.
Go on, tell me about that.
Yes, so this came about. We all know what it's like going out and about anywhere. High street, shops, pubs, you know, you go to a pub, you're bursting for a pee because you've had 5 pints and then you've, you know, break the seal and then you're snooking, aren't you? And, like, you go into the bathroom and there's, you know, like, mops and buckets and everything in there. And I love fashion, you know, again, for me, fashion is a way of escapism. I used to go to Westfield Centre, which is a shopping centre, so it's completely accessible. The environment's accessible, so you've got toilets, it's all flat, there's no steps. However, the individual shops are...
Awful.
So I went to Zara, and they'd been refurbishing it for, like, 2 months. Turned up, the first time I went there, so they'd, like, we're open, it's, like, you know, great. The lift was out. Now, I quite like going upstairs, because I can fit into kids' clothes as well, which is great, because it's...
Save on tax.
Yeah, save on tax. So I was a bit naffed off about that, but then I bought something, and then 2 weeks later, I had to return it. I went to the returns bit and all the tills were too high. The cash thing wouldn't come down. And it was really busy. And I went, well, what do you want? I said, what's the point of getting it refurbished if you don't have... I said, have you got like a lower And the woman, I think this is what really annoyed me. The woman just shrugged her shoulders at me.
I said, I don't know.
Yeah, and I think I said a swear word. I went, for fuck's sake, or something like that. Excuse me, you can edit that out if you want.
That's right, you don't need to. It's a podcast. Right. you can say things like fucking shit and
okay,
asshole.
Okay, there
you go.
So yeah, I think I said, oh, for F's sake. And everyone in the queue just looked at me. And I just wanted the ground to swallow me up. So I took a picture. So sorry, I digress. Took a picture and it kind of blew up. And then the HuffPost covered it. So I thought, I just wanted to highlight the fact that we've got a law, and everyone who's non-disabled thinks we are protected by the law, and they're shocked and mortified when I say, I can't fly on my own, or I can't do this on my own, or most shops aren't accessible, or bars or cafes.
Yeah.
And people are like, yeah, but it's the Equality Act, and it's like, well, no.
The Equality Act says that they have to make reasonable adjustments.
Yeah, but this is it.
But that's the problem, isn't it?
What is reasonable?
What is reasonable?
And also, you know, a lot of places, it's a loophole because they can get around it if it's going to be financially, you know, kind of in deficit for them.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to highlight, I want everyone to post on that. You can follow Don't Want Our Cash on Facebook and Twitter. So I just want people to take pictures when they're out and about of inaccessible places and tag it in. Because what I'm hoping to do, and this is this campaign, I'm seeing this as a long-term campaign, because I want to build up kind of evidence to take to Parliament to go, look, the Equality Act clearly isn't working.
Yeah.
This here are all the photos and all the places that are still not accessible. So I kind of, it's relying on everyone to get involved. I need to give it a bit more of a push. I think when you take on a campaign and you're doing so many other things, it can be quite overwhelming. I want people to just be posting more and more. We've had Purple Tuesday recently, which also highlighted how crappy accessibility is. But yeah, I mean, like I said, long term, what I want to do is to get a change in the law so that reasonable needs to mean something and the government needs to pull the finger out, because it annoys me that they say, like, so I've got a taxi card, so I get money off some taxis, but the amount that I get, it basically equates to one taxi ride a week. I'm sorry, but that is just not good enough. Yet they say it's going to cost billions and billions and billions to make the underground accessible. Fine, that's fine. But if you're not going to invest in the underground service or other services, give us more allowances for private... Or don't take mobility cars off. Do you know what I mean? It's like you can't have it both ways.
This is why I drive around London. So I've got a mobility car.
Yeah.
And I drove here from Leicester today to London. And I've parked around the corner in a disabled bay.
Yeah, I'm amazed you got one.
So am I. The reason I brought my car down is because I can't get the tube. There's no chance of me getting the bus on my scooter. And it will cost me, if I get the train from King's Cross to here, you're looking 40, 50 quid.
For sure.
So I can't do that. I can't afford that. And not there and back is 100 quid. So yeah, that's why I've got to bring my car down to London every time. Yeah. So.
But I mean, I even said to you, because obviously it's great that you've come to my flat here, but you know, to do like something like this, you know, I do lots of different things. But I'd be completely out of pocket because a round trip in a taxi, a black cab, you know, is like 20 quid here, 20 quid there, that's £40.
Yeah, exactly.
And that is a substantial amount of money to be paying for just going out on one occasion.
Yeah.
You know, when people say to me, do you fancy a coffee somewhere? I'm like,
Actually, one of my articles that I wrote, because me and my wife came, I was trying to get a job in London, actually, after university. And me and my wife stopped at a Travelodge in Fulham. And we wanted to see how accessible it was. So we got taxis everywhere. And we got to the point where we just couldn't afford to live in London. Because if I wanted to go... Say if I just wanted to go out three times a week.
Yeah.
And say I wanted to go to the theatre. Okay, from Fulham to the city centre of London, it's half an hour by taxi. It's 24 quid.
Yeah, of course it is.
And so even if I wanted to go to the pub three times a week or whatever, or see friends in central London or whatever, you're looking at £120 a week minimum just for taxes. And this is before I've gone out.
Yeah. But this is what I'm spending on average.
Yeah, which is crazy. So you're spending £500 a month just getting around London just to get out.
And then, you know,
and that's minimum.
Yeah. And if it's, you know, at night, so the meter goes up as well, if it's after, is it 11:30?
Yeah.
So heaven forbid you're Cinderella and you stay
back at 12 o'clock.
Back at 12, you know. And it is, it is a pain. I do have a PA. She's great. I only get 15 hours a week. So obviously I need to be very mindful. And because I've currently got a fractured elbow at the moment, anything that I do work where she does come along with me. But that's a constant battle, because I think if I have a big fracture, I need at least for a week pretty much full care.
Yeah, yeah.
And God bless my mum, she's a nurse. She lives up in Lancashire. But she does, like, you know, as soon as I fracture, she'll come and stay. But, you know, I'm 32, you don't want your mum.
No.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Even though, God, I love your mum, you're amazing. But after 3 days, and particularly when you're on morphine and things like that,
Great. I had an issue with morphine a couple of weeks ago. Actually, I may have talked slightly too much.
No, just like itching.
Sorry, no, itching. No. I hallucinated.
But that's fun though.
Oh wow!
I'm not condoning.
It scared my wife. I thought.
Don't do drugs, kids.
Don't do drugs. Don't do. So I thought R2-D2 from Star Wars was in my bathroom.
How is that a bad thing?
And then I ate KFC chicken fingers, which is the weirdest thing in the world, because I was like,
"You ate them? I thought I had
KFC chicken fingers." Yeah. So I was like, "Oh,
you sure it wasn't acid you were on?"
No, just too much morphine.
Okay.
I'm not taking it ever again. I've stopped taking it.
No. I've had a bad experience where I literally, because it comes out of your skin.
Yeah.
I took too much.
It's nasty stuff.
I wanted to scratch my own skin off.
Oh.
So again, stay away from opioids.
Yeah, it's not fun.
I like a bit of Oromorph, though. Yeah.
And also, you can't drive either. You don't have to drive afterwards as
well. Yeah, what are you going to do next then? Your scooter?
Yeah, I know.
Drunk and disorderly.
Well, amount of people I've tried.
I like it, though. Does it collapse, your scooter?
It does collapse. It's actually quite good. It's called a Super Scooter Spartan. And it's got two batteries. It's...
I thought they were little... The batteries look like little... money boxes, you know, the tin money boxes.
Yeah. It is a very good scooter, so I can get 10 miles out of it a day, and it's all terrain, which is awesome.
Amazing.
The only I do have a few issues with it. It's, turning circle is terrible.
As we realise in my flat.
Yes, absolutely. But other than that, pretty much everything else is okay with it.
And I like it.
Yeah, it does get in the way, though. That's the problem. When you go to places, pubs and restaurants and things.
Well, this is it. I mean, because I'm so petite, I'm in a child's chair.
Mm.
And I just think, because I don't particularly like electric wheelchairs, I've just got a thing about them.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's what I used to hate, because I just think they're just not very aesthetic. And at least I've got, this chair is small and compact, and even I struggle in some cafes.
Mm.
And I'm like, you know what I mean? The width of mine is very small.
Yeah.
I think, geez, how would anyone else cope with their chair?
The one I want, I am actually going to get a new one soon.
Yeah.
The one I want, Rose, £17,000.
Wow.
It's called the Ogo. And it's like the way to describe it. It's like a Segway, but that you can sit on.
Oh wow!
So it can go anywhere. But the scooter's absolutely great. So if anyone wants one, it's called. I'll get commission for this.
Yeah, you will. You go on. Plug it.
Super Scooter Spartan.
There you go.
There you are.
We digressed a lot there, didn't we?
We did. Yes. It's all right. Right. Sex tape. Sex takeover.
Sex tape.
Sex tape.
I'm not doing a sex tape.
No.
Neither am I. My agent will be having a heart attack listening to this.
Although, I did interview Adam Pearson a little while ago, who's taken part in Wild Disabled.
Yeah.
And he was really impressed that he's on Pornhub.
How?
Because he did a film a couple years ago, Scarlett Johansson.
Yeah. How would that end up? Anyway, go on.
Anyway, so sex tape takeover.
Yeah.
Okay, tell me about it.
That was this week. So I went up to Sunderland. I was part of a panel of kind of influencers for BBC Five Live radio, but it was kind of, wasn't televised, they just kind of like streamed it, so you can catch it up on iPlayer and things. Dr. Christian Jessen was there, Munro Bergdorf, who is a, activist for trans rights, and a whole host of other kind of bloggers, and yeah, so we just basically talked about sex, and there was a lot of new statistics that came out about, you know, things covering about consent and what constitutes as cheating, sexual health, and then the, you know, audience interaction. To be honest, I mean, it was great, and I was like the token disabled person, you know, to talk about disability and sex. We could have gone on and on forever. We literally just scratched the surface. I'm glad that we got to talk about it. Again, for me, the main points were, you know, disabled people aren't seen as sexual beings, which is completely false. You know, we looked at things like consent when you've got PAs or carers.
Mm.
If you're, you know, if you're non-verbal, you know, how does that work? And also, again, about a lot of people, if they still with their parents, or if they, again, if they do have like full-time PAs or carers, you know, how do you broach that, the fact that you might be on Tinder and you want to have a shag over? You know, so I'm going to be following it up in one of my Metro articles, which will be out by the time this podcast goes out.
You can
Google it. But yeah, it was really interesting because, you know, even just looking at things like going for a smear test or a mammogram or, you know, anything like that, I don't remember any of my doctors ever discussing sex with me. For a long time, I didn't even think I could have sex. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, my parents were very open, like, talking about the birds and the bees, but no one actually addressed the fact whether I could physically do it.
Yeah.
Or even, like, you know, like, having, like, my period. Like, I was saying to Dan White earlier, you know, a bit of, it was in context, can I just say? I didn't just talk about my period to him. We talked about, you know, I was quite a late bloomer in that respect, and I was terrified. I thought, oh, because I'm disabled, does this mean I don't have a period?
I think we better explain that. Okay, Dan White's fine while disabled. He's got a daughter who has spina bifida. There was a conversation he was having with yourself on, because she needs help with personal care, would it be okay for a father to help out if she's got a period?
Yeah, and just even just be when they become, you know, that child becomes more sexually aware.
Yes.
Because, I mean, I know for a fact it's probably a bit of an overshare, but I've been in situations where I've had to have someone help bathe me and things like that.
Mm.
And obviously, when you're touching specific areas, you can get turned on.
Yeah.
Even if it's not in a sexual way.
I can make it a lot worse than that. So I've got no sensation from the waist down.
Yeah.
Okay, or very limited sensation from the waist down. So I don't know when I'm going to go to the toilet. So the worst thing is I was sitting there in bed.
Yeah.
People were cleaning me.
Yeah.
And then you piss.
Yeah.
It's like a little baby, you know, you take off the nappy.
Yeah.
You go, whee!
Yeah.
But no, it's what needs to be discussed.
It does need to be discussed.
Yeah, because it's personal care and people's hygiene.
Yeah.
And while I said to you, I think it's okay for Dan to help out his daughter if she is on her period.
Yeah.
Dan obviously replied saying he wasn't too sure if it was appropriate.
Yeah, and also, you know, like, there'll come a point where obviously they're trying to encourage her to do as much as possible now she's getting older, which I think is which is great anyway, because you should encourage that person to become independent. But again, you know, it's what about the parent? Like, what do they want? Because you know, I think there was that story about a father, you know, masturbating the son because he wasn't able to do so, and in his eyes, he's like, he's sexually. You know, but it's like, well, but that's like, you know, get a prostitute in.
Yes, you can actually, believe it or not, actually get money from like things like social services to get people in to have sex with you, or they will send you abroad. I worked for adult social care, and it hit the headline news about 8 or 9 years ago. I'm not too sure exactly when. And what it was is the person who got their money, they get money for whatever they want to improve their quality of life, what's suitable for them. So they get a personal budget, and they can spend it on whatever they like, because it's not for the council or the government to say, to dictate what you get to spend your money on. If you want Sky Sports, and that's what you get, because everyone gets the same amount. Mm. So if you want to spend it on care, you spend it on care. And it's mainly supposed to be for care. But if you don't want care and you want Sky Sports instead, because you're going to find that much more rewarding because you want to watch the football and it's going to make your life more sociable, then get Sky Sports. But one bloke went to Amsterdam, had a fantastic time.
Amazing.
Yeah, had sex, never had sex before. He came back, cheerful as ever, as you can imagine. And that's what he spent his money on.
So, yeah, I mean, it's an interesting subject.
Go on, plug your handbag stuff.
Yes, so I have partnered up with a vegan handbag company called Mia Tui. I've always loved fashion. I've always wanted to get into fashion.
You are very well kept as well.
I'm not at the moment. I've made the least amount of effort for you today.
But when you appear in public, you are exceptionally well dressed.
Thank you.
I mean, I've got to research you to do the interview.
Stalking.
So it's called online stalking.
Stalking.
I don't follow you around the streets. Not yet.
Not yet. You know where I live now. I'm a bit concerned. I might have to move.
That's right. I live in Leicester. It's too far.
Too expensive.
But no, you are very well kept. Yeah. You look after yourself.
I love it. Yeah. I always have been. I love fashion.
Yeah.
I always have. I love makeup. I love experimenting with clothes. Mm. Yeah. I mean, it's just quite an innate thing. So yeah, I've teamed up with Mia Tui to design a handbag range that has people with disabilities in mind. So I've made only very, very small tweaks to a handbag. Because I want to make the point that to other kind of retailers that disability shouldn't be so scary to modify. Like, anyone can have this handbag. However, if you have a disability, There are things like clips that so you can put it on the back of your chair. Uh-huh. I've replaced the zips to a bigger fabric kind of opener. Uh-huh. So if you've got any dexterity issues, it's going to be easy. And even just like I've made like a little discreet, like a hideaway pocket, because I go out and about and I use like a shiwi and uh-huh. things like that. And obviously after having like spinal cord damage, sometimes my bladder might be a bit weak. So you've got things in there that you don't want people, because I don't know, like I sometimes go, can you just pop in my bag instead of twisting around? I say to someone, will you just grab that out of my bag? And you don't want them picking up your shiwi. So I made like a little, but it's happened before.
No, I can understand. I mean, I've got my bag here and I've got my catheters in there.
Exactly.
I've got my urine bottle in there.
Exactly.
Yeah, I've got my incontinence pads in there.
Exactly, and, but that's what I've done. And,
yeah.
So I've made an invisible pocket in there. So they are only minor tweaks, but the great thing is that Mewtwo is so accommodating that this is going to be the start of something long term. So we will develop along the way. On the whole, so it's only just come out this week. On the whole, everyone's been very, very kind of positive response to it. I've already had quite a lot of orders, which is lovely. A lot of people are kind of like saying, but I can't do this and I can't do that, so how would that be accessible to me? Mm-hmm. You know, ultimately, it's a learning curve for me.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying this bag will accommodate every single person with every single disability and everything will be fine.
It's supposed to just improve things.
Exactly. Yes. And so that's been quite interesting and something I need to get my head around, because when you do advertise as, you know, kind of being an accessible brand, you know, you are going to get pushback from people going, yes, but I can't do this and I can't do that. And I think that is sometimes the struggle when you are looking at disability, because we all get like bundled together.
Mm.
Under this one umbrella, when actually we are so, so different in our needs.
Mm.
You know, I've designed this bag for people with similar disabilities to my own or mobility.
Yeah.
But what's great is I've already started thinking about how to improve it the next time around.
Yeah.
So, you know, hopefully people will see that and say, look, you know, this is a great start.
Mm.
And that's what it is. It's a start. You know, no one else seems to be doing anything like this.
Yeah.
And again, it is a learning curve for me. And, you know, if it improves a handful of people's lives,
then
and also,
successful.
You know, then, and a lot of mothers of children with disabilities have said, this is great, now I don't need to have the bag on the back on my shoulder and worry, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's I see this as a beautiful partnership that will grow and grow and grow, and a lot of guys have said, well, what about a male version? So hopefully that will be on the cards.
Cool.
Because I don't think they'll want a pink bag. Well, they might do. You know, gender fluid and
well,
all this.
Well, you know, yeah, absolutely, you know. Why not?
Don't want to discriminate.
I went to an awards evening last week and it had the LGBTI there. So, yeah, absolutely.
There you go. Cool.
Yeah, yeah. And in London, you know, why not?
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
Gosh, everything goes here.
Right. Now, we're moving on to another subject.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, this has got a number of interesting replies from various people like yourself.
Okay.
So, this is a section that we say what not to say to a person with disabilities.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. So, first of all, so someone asked you, can I have a go?
If you pay me $4,000, then yeah. That's how much it costs.
Yeah, to have a go on your wheelchair.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Have a go on me or have a go on the wheelchair?
Have a go on the wheelchair.
Yeah.
Wow, you charge $4,000, do you?
Yeah, I do. I'm not cheap. I'm prime meat, I am.
Get your money's worth.
Get my money's worth.
Absolutely. Do you work?
I don't think anyone's ever asked me that.
No?
Do you?
Okay.
Do you?
Yeah.
I'd probably turn it around and go, do you?
Yeah.
Because you don't look like you do.
What benefits are you on?
I'll be quite honest and I say I get disability living allowance.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah? I mean, like...
But the thing is the whole idea is you shouldn't really ask that someone,
no,
should
you? No, you shouldn't at all. But I would, like, I have no shame in saying that I am in receipt of stuff.
Here's one, specifically for you. I thought you'd be taller.
I just say, well, normally I'll probably have a cigarette in my hand and I go, well, smoking stunts your growth, so...
You're so brave.
Normally I just smile at people.
Yeah.
You know I hate the word inspirational and brave.
Well, that's the other one. You're so inspirational.
Yeah.
All the time.
You know, I mean, you can read my article in the Metro. Yeah. I just normally smile. I think these questions are difficult because I'm in the public eye now.
Yes.
So I can't tell people to go fuck off.
Because, well, you can.
Well, I could, but my agent would give me a really, really good hiding.
It's personal choice. I would.
It is. But I just kind of do the whole... I'm a bit like a politician. I just smile and nod.
Oh dear. It's good to see you out and about.
It's good to see you out and about. Again, I don't think I've ever really come face to face with stuff like that.
Okay.
I don't know. I think, I just give them quite a teacher glare a lot of the time.
See,
I've been
that's
told.
The thing, because you used to be a teacher.
Yeah,
give
them
a look. Yeah. So you're going to throw a bit of piece of chalk at them or something. What happened to you?
Nothing happened to
me.
Nothing.
No? Okay,
Nothing.
That's fine. You need a horn for that.
Yeah, I normally, when I get a lot of cab drivers saying things like you know, kind of. Guys kind of like to say like a beep beep, watch out. But I kind of just joke back and I go, women drivers, I just say something equally as stupid.
Yeah, I think we've covered this one. Can you have sex?
Yes, I do.
Yeah. Are you disabled or are you just lazy?
I think you can physically see. My God, this is really difficult. This is difficult. I mean, again, I think it's visible that I am disabled, so it's...
Well, I wouldn't say it is. I mean, don't get me wrong, aside from the wheelchair...
Yeah.
Okay.
But I'm short in stature. There's things
I know you're short, but no, I would say you can see you're short, you're 3'9".
Yeah.
But I wouldn't say that's a disability, being short.
No.
I would have no idea you've got an injured shoulder or that you've got brittle bone disease.
Yeah.
So,
I get you.
Yeah. So it's like Warwick Davis or anyone like that. It's like... Yes, they're short and dwarfism, but I wouldn't say that was a disability because you're still...
short.
Yeah, so I wouldn't know you are physically disabled by looking at you.
Yeah, but I think that's because you have a disability and you...
That could
wipe
me, it could be.
I think to anyone else... Look, this is how I judge it. Kids stare a lot, right?
They do, yes.
Really, really, really stare. So if you're saying that, I don't think you look disabled. If kids are staring at you... That means because you look different.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I understand that, yes. Because kids ask questions where adults are kind of patronising.
Because if you didn't look different, because even like if I'm in a taxi or something, I can't even see my wheelchair. People stare. So in my mind, that means I must look so different. Does that make sense?
Yes, absolutely.
If people can't see my chair and they're still glaring at me, and they can only maybe see my head and, you know, I must look different.
Yeah.
I must look disabled. Because why would they be staring?
Yeah.
Because I'm so gorgeous and glamorous, maybe.
So well maintained, of course.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
Right. So, quick fire questions.
Oh, crap.
No. This is based on you.
Oh, all right.
Now, this could get you into trouble.
Oh, no.
It won't. Okay. It won't. Okay. So, first one. Favourite handbag?
Mia Tui.
Well done. Favourite chocolate?
Maltesers!
I'm glad you said that. Jeremy Vine or Matthew Wright?
Matthew Wright.
Oh. Dan White or Matthew Wright?
Dan White.
Oh. Favourite person in the top Shore 100 list?
Me! No.
You can't say yourself.
Oh, I'm going to go... Oh, I don't know. Skip.
Skip? Who's Skip?
I don't know. Martin. We like Martin Sibley. Yeah,
Martin
Sibley. There you go.
Okay, cool. Earl Grey or English Breakfast?
English Breakfast.
Cool. Favourite loose woman?
Christine Lampard, she's an absolute gem diamond. I love her, I cannot fault her. I really want to hate her because she's just so perfect, but I can't. Like, literally, if you ever get to meet Christine Lampard, or Christine
Blakely. She's a maternity.
She is. She's just lovely. And Linda Robson, because she just messages me all the time on Instagram, which is really cute of her.
Aww.
And Stacey as well. I met Stacey the other day at Eden
Stacey
restaurant.
Summer.
Yeah.
She's in Australia
lovely.
At the moment.
To be fair, they are all absolutely lovely. Like, I can't fault them, but Christine Lampard, an angel incarnate, seriously.
Oh, bless. Okay, favourite food?
Pasta.
Favourite fashion designer?
I do like Roberto Cavalli, Chanel, obviously, Karl Lagerfeld. Yeah, and obviously, late Alexander McQueen. He was a diamond.
Cool. Favourite film?
I like The Lost Boys. Oh, The Labyrinth, David Bowie.
David Bowie, okay, cool. ITV, BBC or Channel 5?
At the moment, ITV, because they're giving me the most work.
Bless you. Cool. Right. Sam, it's been an absolute pleasure.
Oh, thank you.
Right. Thank you for taking part in World Disabled.
Because I really need a wee now. So
excellent.
That's perfect timing.
You go and sort yourself out. Thank you for listening to World Disabled. We'll be back with another celebrity in a week's time. This has been Simon Sansom signing off this week. Thank you very much, Samantha Ray.
Bye.